One of the great things about Earlham College is that students from different majors, different backgrounds, different countries even, discover that they have interests in common and that they can only benefit from working together.
They are trying to answer the same questions, only from different angles, and they come together in teams to find solutions to real-world problems. That's Earlham, and here's how it happens.
Today on the Earlham College podcast, we chat with Tenzin Dam Chow, a Tibetan Buddhist monk from Dharamsala, India. Dam Chow is teaching a popular course in Buddhism and science at Earlham this semester. In recent years, Earlham has developed a relationship with the community of Dharamsala through a Tibetan studies program located at Sarah College. The program culminates with a visit with the Dalai Lama, the spiritual leader of the Tibetan people.
My name is Tenzin Thamche, and I'm faculty member of College for Higher Tibetan Studies in Dharamsala in India. And with our college, we have got a tie up with Emory University, Atlanta, and also Earlham College over here, and also with the Hampshire, and also with the Miami. With the Hampshire and the Emory, we used to send a student to study in the college. But as for the Earlham, it's more of like the faculty member coming over here and trying to learn the new things in terms of the teaching methods and all this kind of stuff. And we have students, the abroad, Tibetan Study Abroad program, coming from Earlham College. Now it's a four-year. And as for me, my role is to teach them a Buddhist philosophy.
So what kind of things do you do here on campus?
Over here in the campus, every Wednesday from in the evening, 7 to 8:30, I've got a class, and I have to teach the Buddhism and science. And the rest of the others, from Monday to Friday, I used to visit to all the different classes, especially on the psychology and the science, and also on the religion, and also on the philosophy. So I used to attend more on the psychology and science classes, especially with the psychology.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm just trying to find, is there any kind of like similarity between the Buddhism and the modern psychology, and also if there's any kind of like disagreement, kind of like contradiction like between each other and all this kind of stuff. So in a daily basis, I used to attend like 3 or 4 classes in a day.
And what have you discovered? Has there been a conflict or contradiction? Or
in terms of the conflict or contradiction, in a sense, like, let's say, the inner Buddhism, in a sense, like in a Tibetan community as a culture, normally when a person trying to spend a time alone and trying to meditate and focus on one thing, we consider it as a kind of like a supernatural, extraordinary person.
Yeah.
But over here, it's more of like, if you don't mingle with the people, if you just spend your time too much, it's more of like social disorder.
Yes.
And also in terms of the body language, like when you when you greet a person with a shaking hand, like when you have to say, hello, how are you, like that, it shows your confidence.
Yes.
And also with a full grip, shaking hand with a full grip. But in our society, it's more of like, hello, how are you, touching their leg, like that, with the kind of like, not too much with the strength. It shows a humbleness and a respect. So, and also this kind of type, and also with a modern psychology, it's something more of like a chemical imbalance in the body. When you say, like, when you have a depression, anxiety,
yeah,
all this kind of stuff, it's something to do with the chemical imbalance. But in the Buddhism, it's something to do with the mind, nothing to do with the chemical imbalance. These are some kind of like, with the cross-culture differences and also with the way of thinking.
So how does this come together in your class, science and Buddhism? How does that work? What is that class exactly?
Actually, in the Buddhism, we divide into three things: Buddhist science, Buddhist philosophy, and Buddhist religion. As for the Buddhist science, it's something to find more, something to find a fact. Well, why? Because like science also looks for the fact, and Buddhism also looks for a fact. Why? Because the Buddha, what he said was, don't follow me ignorantly, blindly, by saying that I'm a great teacher, great learned. Like the goldsmith, they melt the gold steal the gold. And if it's a pure gold, they keep it. Like the same way, analyze on my teaching. If it's helping you, practice it. Otherwise, forget it. So it's more of like showing one's own has to use one's own logic and one's own wisdom.
Yeah.
So like the same way, Buddhist science is something to do with the finding a fact. Then Buddhist philosophy, okay, this is a fact. Now, is there any other kind of like possibilities for it? So then on the third, it's a Buddhist religion. Now, finding a fact, finding possibilities, now it's a time to put into a practice execution. So when we talk about the Buddhist science, we talk about not all the subjects, yeah, especially with the chemistry, but we talk more on the cosmology, neurology, modern psychology, and and quantum physics. And he's only the Dalai Lama has taken initiative now. It's almost like 3.5 decades that he's talking to the scientist,
yeah,
about the Buddhism and the science. The idea is to find the similarities and to find help each other. The scientists, let's say, as for this particular glass, now they will examine and like, how should I move a little bit lightly? It can hold both the hot and the cold. Now, from the Buddhist perspective, it's more of like, is this an impermanence, or is this an inherent existence, or is it an independent existence? So it's trying to examine on the tangible and intangible. The thing is, like, let's say, especially on the Buddhist, let's say when we talk about the cosmology,
yeah,
and neurology, modern psychology, and quantum physics, especially on the neurology, it's something about the mind. And when we discuss about the brain and the mind, so let's say, like, how is the brain is formed from the Buddhist perspective, and also, like, is it all the consciousness, does it depends on the brain itself. And when we talk about the mind, where is this mind? Mm-hmm. And where is all memory is stored? Let's say in a person, like especially with the all memories, what we say is like all memories stored at the hippocampus in the brain.
Yeah.
So if the memory is restored in the hippocampus, in the brain, when someone dies and there are lots of research, is there any life after death? And the person who can recall about the past lives, how is it possible when your hippocampus is already destroyed completely? Then we talk about the mental consciousness. In the science, they talk about 5 senses. And in the Buddhism, we talk about the 6, the mental consciousness. And in the end, with the mind itself, gross, subtle, subtlest. When it becomes to the subtlest, this particular consciousness has to rely on the brain. Why? Because in the Buddhism, there's a meditation called clear light state of meditation. So when the person dies, in the Buddhism, we talk about 2 breath, outer breath and the inner breath. As from the modern science, whether the person is dead or not, they will judge through the ECG. So this kind of person who are able to do this kind of meditation, and their outer breath is stopped. Clinically, they are dead. But innerly, they are still very much active. And their body doesn't decompose like 14 days, 20 days. That too without using any chemicals. So at the same time, now what we argue is like the way the memory is restored. And also at the same time, we talk about the dreams and all this kind of stuff. So as for the death, it's a form of like process of like going to a deep sleep from the lucid dreams, then to the deep sleep, then again waking up in the morning, like trying to the consciousness coming back like that. Then also the science, what they say is we dream what we have experienced, but there are some, when we go to some new places, we feel like, oh, it seems like I knew this place. Oh, yeah, it's in my dream. Now, the question is, I haven't experienced this particular thing, yeah, and how it came in my dream. And the science, they call it the deja vu. But that's what the Buddhism will call it, like kind of like karmic relationship. So at the time of like sleeping, we get a lucid dreams, the things that we did in the daytimes.
Yeah.
Then afterwards, when it comes to 10 to 11, then all this consciousness gets the eye, nose, the ears, the tongue, the physical body getting dissolved from one to another, one to another. Then in the end, to the mental consciousness. When it's now, it's more of kind of like very subtlest kind of like consciousness. At that time, we don't, all these senses doesn't work at all. In the deep sleep, when your friends or parents, they make a good food, delicious food, still we don't smell it. And when they try to call our name, we don't hear it. Mm-hmm. And when they open our eyes, like we don't see anything.
Yeah.
It's kind of like dissolved into a very, very subtlest form.
Huh.
Then when we get awake, right, then 3 a.m., 4 a.m., then we get early morning dream, like before we get up. This is kind of like when we put the flash drive in the laptop or computer, it says reading, reading, reading. Now you are allowed to
hear. Oh, so you start to kind of hear things as they're actually happening.
Like same thing, this consciousness now getting back into their own places.
I see.
So in this one, like we talk about the neurology and also the how the brain and the, all this kind of, and also we talk about the cosmology. In the cosmology, let's say like in the science where they talk about the Big Bang Theory and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So the questions that we use to ask is like, Big Bang, is it only one Big Bang Theory, or does it have a multiple Big Bang Theory? Or whether the universe is expanding or not.
In your class, is it a wide array of perspectives? Are you having students who from the area of religion, from the area of the hard sciences, does that come together? Is there conflict there, or is that kind of where things kind of start to gel and make sense for people?
It's not really a kind of like contradiction. Like it becomes why? Because like over here, most of the students they have got the basic ideas of the science.
Yeah.
So when we talk about the science and all this kind of stuff, now when we talk about the Buddhism, especially with the mind, as for the science, when we talk from the Buddhist perspective, the hardest point is like when we talk about the self. Why? Because like, we don't see it. In the science, what they believe is like either it has to be proved by a number or use a logic. Mm-hmm. In the Buddhism, it has to be a third thing. Either it has to be used by logic, number, and third, it's a belief. Having a faith and believing in that person. The third.
What is it you hope people walk away with, having taken your class, or just in your interactions in general, what do you hope people get from that?
There's the Gandhiji, the Mahatma Gandhiji, what he said was like, at the time of the British Raj, they did a kind of like boycott British movement, and the Gandhiji, what he said was, if there's a house with the two windows, let all the winds come from one window and keep all the good wind inside and throw away all the bad wind from the other window. Like the same way, over here, it's a kind of like diversity of the culture and diversity of the people from the different background with the different knowledge. So there are lots of good things that we can learn, right? It's not necessary that everything is a bad thing. So there are lots of good things that we can learn and try to imply. And the things that you don't want to learn and you don't want to know, and then also the things which we think that it's not going to help me, just let it go and don't need it. So we're here while coming to the class with the different backgrounds of knowledge on science, economic, and religion, and the philosophy. It helps to share, to understand each other's view. So it's kind of like in a five-person letting a touch to the elephant. One says like it has got a huge feet. One says it has a huge belly. One says it has a huge ponytail. Everyone says it is a task. Actually, everything is right, but we don't have the clear picture.
Yeah.
So while coming to the class, like with understanding, listening from the different perspective, with the different background fields, you get a clear picture of all the angles that you don't see. So it's a kind of like pile of wisdom. like ocean river, the water coming from the different rivers submerging into an ocean. So all these rivers become a huge pile of ocean. Like the same way with the different backgrounds coming in one place, it becomes a huge form of like a pile of a wisdom.
You being here at Earlham, at Richmond, what exactly have you gotten from this experience?
Back in India, it's more of like living in your own society, like you just have the knowledge of your own society, like that. Like then once you get a chance to explore, then, as I've told you earlier, like in the, you get like limited number of information through the books and through the medias. When you come over here, like it's more of like opening your eyes and getting having experience at ground zero. So here, what I found was like the people with a different background of the culture, tradition, religion, whatever it may be, like people are so open-minded and ready to help each other like that. And also over here, the plants, the environment, it's so good. Sometimes I miss my back hometown. Why? Because like every time, like when you just come out from your step from outside from your room, you can see the mountains just in front of you.
Oh wow!
But over here, like you don't see the mountains, but you can see the trees. And the good thing is, like early morning, the birds, the chirpings, like, and also in terms of the air qualities, it's much more better from the India, in India, in a sense, like in some parts. And over here, the Richmond, it's kind of like far away from the Madding crowd.
Yeah.
Right, because like before I came over here, I was in New York. In New York, like every now and then, there's lots of like noises of fire alarms and all sorts of things. And also, I used to go and do shopping sometimes at the Kroger and then also over there at the Aldi, Save a Lot, and also at the Goodwill. So I met like a number of people. They asking me like, "Oh, are you a Buddhist monk?" And say, "And is there any kind of Buddhist center over here?" Asking me, and there are some people on the way. So like they're asking me about the meditation. I try to do a meditation, but I'm not able to focus it properly.
Is that a common question? People when they see you, the first thing they want to ask or think of is meditation. And
why? Because most of the time, like the people, what they think is, "Oh, Buddhist monk." First thing in their mind is meditation. I don't know, like I'm not talking about the whole people, but some of the people. Then also at the same time, like one time at the in the Goodwill, they said like, "Oh, I like your costume," and I was I was with one of the students, and he said, "Oh, he's a Buddhist monk." What? Oh, I haven't thought like in my life that I will see and meet a Buddhist monk. Why? Because all the time I see in the TVs. So what she's saying, now I don't have to go to India or like Tibet to see a Buddhist monk. And also there are some people, one guy, he just came to me and he said like, "Are you a Buddhist monk?" And I said, "Yes." "Oh, that's what I told you, my wife." Yeah, come. "Yeah, I've told you that he's a Buddhist monk. You know that?" And they say, like, can we take a picture like that?
Do you like that kind of attention or does that...
No, it's okay. Why? Because, like, sometimes when you go to the different places, like, when you are in your own place, when the different people comes, like, or you have, like, "Oh, where's he from? Like, where's she from?" Like that. "Oh, he looks like, a little bit strange," like that. So... his illness always says is like first thing or fundamental should be we all the same human being. And at the same time, at the sense, like on the second, then the secondary level should be I'm a Tibetan, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a monk, or he's educated, she's a non-educated, she's illiterate, she's illiterate, or she's from Spain, he's from France, like that. This comes to secondary level. So when I think that, oh, we are the same human being and I'm just meeting the same the person, like with the same emotional levels, then it doesn't make me any nervous, intense like that. So they also have a curiosity.
Yeah.
And I also have a curiosity when I was in my own hometown like that. Oh, I understand. So can we take a picture? Yes. It doesn't cost you anything, isn't it? It's just a 1 second like that.
Yeah.
And another time, like one or two. And sometimes, like the things, like in the movies, they comes with a lot of like martial arts. And also one time at the Goodwill. So when you go out, like you meet like different kinds of people. And he said, like, do you know Kung Fu? Are you a Buddhist monk? And he said, like, do you know the Kung Fu? And we watched a movie about the Shaolin temples and all this kind of stuff. So he said, like, I'm so much interested in the karate and Kung Fu. Can we take a picture with you? And he said, like, we took a picture. And all of a sudden, I said, oh, my son also wants to take a picture with you. Do you mind? Like, I said, no, no, no. And also we took a picture. So we meet, like, when you go out, like, we meet different kinds of people. And and also the open-minded, like, approaching. It's a kind of openness, like, it's one thing that I like over here. And sometimes the people comes to you and ask a question like that, like, I don't mind.
For more information about Earlham College, visit earlham.edu or give us a call at 1-800-EARLHAM. Visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/EarlhamCollege. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Earlham1847. And check out the sights and sounds of Earlham at youtube.com/EarlhamCollege. To participate in one of our live interactive web chats, visit earlham.edu/chat. The Earlham College Podcast is a production of the Earlham College Department of Marketing and Communications. I'm Brian Zimmerman. And I'm Mark Brim. And we'll see you next time.